looked at last time in comparison of verses 23 and 24, that Judah would not walk in the counsel and the wisdom of God, but rather they chose to walk in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart. They valued their own wisdom and understanding to be more enlightened than that of God himself. But God's assessment of them is that they had gone backward. They had backslidden further into sin and into corruption. In their own eyes, they were progressing. In their own eyes, they were walking in wisdom and enlightenment. But in God's eyes, they had turned further and further into darkness. Romans 1, verse 21 and 22, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They may have thought that they were walking in the lightness of their own understanding, but in God's assessment, their hearts became darkened with sin. Professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. Wise in their own eyes, but God's assessment was that they had become foolish in their own darkness and in their own wickedness and their own sinfulness. So you see, first of all, in verses 25 to 28, the degeneration, their degeneration in their hearts and minds. Verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants. Time and time again, God sent his servants, the prophets, to warn the people of their waywardness, to teach them the true path that they should walk in, to correct the errors that they had adopted, to discipline them in the wrongdoing, and to exhort repentance and to return to God. In verse 13 of this chapter, and now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Time and again, God sent his servants. God spoke to them, urging them to turn away from their sinfulness, their waywardness. Jeremiah 25, verse 4, and the Lord sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened nor inclined your ear. And again in Jeremiah 44, verse 4, howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. They did not turn away. You're doing something abominable to God, something hateful, following after false gods and idols. And so he sent them time and again to turn away, but they would not hearken. They would not stop burning incense to false gods. Would not stop sacrificing to these false gods. He sent them daily. And it's interesting that the Word of God says that it was from the very beginning, from the very time that they left Egypt, way back in Exodus, this has been going on. And he's been sending them again and again, messengers to warn them. What was in his heart? Well, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15 tells us, and the Lord God of their fathers sent unto him by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. He had a love and a care and a concern for his people that they hadn't for him. And time and time and time again, he sent his messengers. Christ relates to this in Matthew 21, verses 33 to 41, in the parable of the householder, where a man plants a vineyard, hedges it around, and puts up the watchtower and so on, and he lets it out to husbandmen, and then he goes away to a far country. But then when the time of the harvest, he sends his messengers looking for the fruit of the harvest. The husbandmen, they beat his messengers. They kill his messengers. They stone his messengers. So he sends more, and they do the same. And they beat them. They kill them. And they stone them. And eventually he sends a son. They'll honor him. They'll respect my son. But they think, this is the heir. If we kill the heir, then we can take the vineyard for ourselves. And then Jesus asks them the question, his hearers a question, what do you think the owner will do then? Oh, he'll come and he'll slay the miserable husbandman. Well, this is what's happening. Time and time and time again. From the day that Israel left Egypt right up to the present, God has been sending his servants, the prophets, to speak to them. From the time of the Exodus onto the present time in Jeremiah's day, God has had to contend with and strive with and battle with them to keep in the way of righteousness, to obey his commands. And then we see here his long-sufferingness, putting up with his wayward children all this time from Exodus to the present day. His loving concern, his persistence in bringing again and again his warnings to him, to them by his servants. His graciousness, his mercifulness in dealing with them. He could have brought an end to it all years and years ago and said, that's enough. I've had enough. I'll wipe you out. I'll destroy you. But he didn't make a full end of them. He didn't obliterate them. He punished them. And when they repented, he forgave them and restored them. So they have witnessed his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his long-sufferingness, and yet for all of that they would not listen nor incline their ear or heart towards God. They hardened their heart. Verse 26. They would not listen to him. They would not even turn their head and their ear and their heart to him to even pay him any attention, but they hardened that neck. God will forgive us. We'll just carry on doing our same as we've done before. And they went further and further into sin, the one generation doing worse than the previous generation. We see that in our own day. It seems that we have fallen to such a depth that couldn't go any further. Then the next generation takes it a stage further and says, well, how further can we go? How deep into sin and can we go? What's the next stage of the perversion in our society? The turning further and further away from God. They plunged further into sin. They did worse than their fathers. Jeremiah 16, verse 12. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there ye shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. They have become worse and worse with every generation. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Peter chapter 2, speaking of false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses We'll read in verse 17 to the end. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Having received the word of God, having been blessed of God, to turn away from it, they become worse and worse. So God says to Jeremiah, speak all of these words to them. Warn them, correct them, teach them, instruct them. But they'll not pay you any attention. They'll not pay any heed to you. Point out to them the wickedness of their behavior. They're slaying, they're killing, they're murdering, they're adultery, they're bearing false witness, they're making oaths and vows that they will not fulfill. Point out to them their abominable religious practices, that they're burning incense onto Baal, that they're causing their children to go through the fires and the worship of Moloch. Point out to them the vanity of their worship, that because they're coming into the temple, because they're burning incense and making these sacrifices because God had given them, yet they're not doing so with their heart. It is all outward. Point out to them the vanity of their worship, that God will not receive it. But they will ignore you. You can tell them all these things, but they will simply ignore you. So in the end, Jeremiah, you just have to tell them what they have become. Make it clear to them what they have become. Verse 28, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, that receiveth nor receiveth correction. It is a nation that is disobedient. You've got to tell them straight, Jeremiah, you are disobedient children. Though they sacrifice to him as their God, they will not be ruled by him as their God. They have refused his word. They have rejected his warnings. They will not repent of their wickedness, nor will they return to his ways. As a nation that is disobeying the voice of the Lord, their God. Not just any God, it's the Lord, their God. The one who led them out of Egypt. The one who has guided them through the wilderness. The one who brought them into the promised land. The one who drove out the enemies that were in that promised land. Their God. They were his people. He was their God. And they have obeyed not the voice of the Lord, their God. And so truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. They are devoid of truth. The truth of God's word is not in their heart. They are dead to his truth. Lies and falsehoods and deceit have saturated their hearts. It's driven the truth out, and their hearts are saturated with lies, falsehood, and deceit. That's the description that Christ gave to those Jews in John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. They are like their father, devoid of truth, hearts full of lies. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 to 30, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Turn the page. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. He will forsake them. And when they call unto him, he will not answer. And so, secondly, in verses 29 to 31, we have God's denouncement of them. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation in the high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. He had come to them time and time and time again. And time and time and time again, they rejected his word. And so God has declared now, I have rejected you. I have forsaken the generation in my wrath. They have done so much that has provoked God to such wrath that he has cast them off. He has rejected and forsaken the generation that has provoked them to such wrath. They have become worse and worse and worse, and it's got to the point where God is now going to bring judgment upon them. So he calls them to cut off thine hair, cast it away, shave thyself, remove thy beard and make yourself bald as a sign of lamentation. Make thyself bald, cut off thy hair, cast it away, and lament and weep and sorrow, for God hath rejected them. It is a time of lamentation, not a time of joy, not a time of delight that God has forsaken them, but a time of lamentation and weeping. And Isaiah 15, verses 1 to 5, speaks of Moab weeping and lamenting. The burden of Moab, because in the night hour of Moab is laid waste, and brought to silence, because in the night cur of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. He has gone up to Bajith and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth, on the tops of their houses and in their streets everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. And Heshbon shall cry, and Elealeh, their voice shall be heard even unto Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out, his life shall be grievous unto him. My heart shall cry out for Moab, his fugitives shall flee unto Zoar, and heifer of 3 years old. For by the mountain up of Luleth, with weeping shall they go up. From the way of Horonim they shall rise up a cry of destruction. Weeping and lamenting, for they have been rejected by God. Weeping and lamenting because the truth has perished and their relationship with God has been broken. Almost as if death, or the truth, has died within them. And they have broken their relationship with God. Cut off thine hair, cast it away, and take up a lamentation, a mourning, a weeping. Why? Why has God rejected them? And he gives two reasons why God has rejected them. Verse 30, their idolatry. The children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. They have polluted God's holy house, God's holy temple. They have brought in their abominations, the imaginations of their own heart, and they've brought it into a temple that has God's name on it. They would dare to bring idolatry into God's holy temple. And they have polluted, they have corrupted, they have desecrated God's holy place. They have brought in the perversity of their worship. And so God has rejected them. Time and time and time again, his servants, the prophets, have said, take away the idols, remove them. But they have not hearkened. They have desecrated his holy place. It has his name on it. This is called by my name, and they have polluted it. They have disregarded his name. They have disregarded his honor. They have disregarded his glory. And they have broken that relationship with him. He was their God. They were his people. But they have turned away after false gods, idols that are no gods. And they have brought their desecration into his holy house. And the second reason, verse 31, they have burned their sons and their daughters in the fire. The sacrifice of their children, burning them in the fire of the high places of Tophet. Murdering, killing their children, offering them up as a burnt sacrifice. And that they could consider such a practice as something that is acceptable unto God, that is acceptable in order to honor God and in order to appease God, to sacrifice their children to idols, that this would be acceptable, that even God would overlook it and still bless them. The sacrifice of children to honor and appease their idols. Matthew Henry says this: this was surely the greatest instance that ever was of the power of Satan in the children of disobedience, and of the degeneracy and corruption of the human nature. That men could be so perfectly void of natural affection as to do such a thing so inhumane as to burn little innocent children, and their own too. That they should be so perfectly void of natural religion as to think that it was lawful to do this and acceptable unto God. Devoid of any natural affection towards their own children, and avoid of any natural sense of that God would accept this. We're going to put our children in the fires of the altar, and that God will accept this. In Leviticus 20, verses 1 to 5, God expressly forbids the slaughter of the children. Leviticus 20, verses 1 to 5. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. If the people of the land hide their eyes from it, God will set his face against him as well. Leviticus 18, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. It was expressly forbidden. No alliance to be made for it whatsoever. Never at any time was this practice considered acceptable in any way in the heart or mind of God. Neither came it into my heart. It was not even in the heart of God that this should even be contemplated in the minds of his people. It is not God's will that children should be sacrificed to idols. In Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, children are an heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. This is the Lord's view of children. They are a gift to people, to parents. A blessing to them. In Matthew 19, verse 14, the mothers would bring their children unto Jesus, and the disciples would push them away. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such as the children as the kingdom of heaven." God's love and care for little children. They're given unto parents to be cared for, to be nurtured, to be brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, not to be put through the fires of Molech or any other idol that people set up. Isaiah 40, verse 11 gives us a picture of the loving shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. His tenderness, his love and care towards little children. And so this is an abomination in the eyes of God, that they should burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. And so thirdly, desolation upon Judah, verses 32 to 34. We see the horror and the desolation that awaits the inhabitants of Jerusalem. No more shall the valley be called the Son of Hinnom. No more shall it be called Tophet, but it shall be called the Valley of Slaughter. The very place where they had cruelly shed innocent blood of their children is the very place to be called the Valley of Slaughter for those who were slaughtered by the enemy, by the Babylonians, shall be buried there. Where they had slaughtered their children, the very place that they had set up that altar to burn their children to gods, to idols, is going to be the very place that they will be buried. And they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. As one commentator says, their sanctuary would become their cemetery. When the enemy come in and they put to the sword the inhabitants, they will be buried there. And the extent of the slaughter of the inhabitants is such that there would be no place left to bury them. Till there be no place. And then the carcasses shall be left lying in the street for the birds and the animals to eat. Verse 33, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them or frighten them away. None shall shoo them away. There'll be so great a slaughter that the dead will be lying open in the street. And the fowls, the birds of the air, dogs, animals will come in and have a feast, a field day. And the fact that this happens is a fulfillment of the prophecy of God in Deuteronomy 28, verse 26. The curses of God. One of the curses of God, that if the people do not obey God's word, these curses shall come upon them. And this is one of them, Deuteronomy 28, verse 26. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. A mark of God's curse upon the people. The carcasses shall lie decaying in the street. A judgment upon God's people for their wickedness and what slaughter they had done upon their own children shall fall upon them. 2 Kings 9 verses 30 to 37 tells us of the death of Jezebel, and she was thrown from a window on the street below. And they went in and had a meal and thought, well, Jezebel, she's the daughter of a king, we'll better bury her. And so they went out to find the body, but they found nothing but a few bones, and the dogs had licking her blood and eaten her body. A curse. A cursed death upon this woman. So death and desolation shall ravish the land. Verse 34. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. People rejoicing, people having fun, people celebrating. These are the people who had put their sons and daughters through the fire, sacrificing them to their idols, to their gods, an abomination in the sight of God. And yet there's mirth and gladness and joyfulness in Jerusalem. When Ireland passed the bill allowing abortion, there were celebrations in the streets. When our Parliament passed the proposal that if there's no assembly set up by tomorrow, abortion would be brought in to Northern Ireland. And those who voted for it celebrated. And there were people here in their own province who celebrated and delighted in the victory that abortion should be brought into line with everybody else. Delighting in their progressive victories. But in the light of this passage, what can we really expect, truly expect for the future of our nation when it passes on, it pushes on the deliberate slaughter of innocent children? God says, I will cause to cease their mirth and gladness. For the land shall be desolate, bringing judgment upon a wicked generation. And each generation seems to be worse than the last one. There's even talk now that when a child is born, even as it was a partial birth abortion or something like that, it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Each generation doing worse than their fathers. Are we not heaping up God's wrath and anger that he bring judgment to the land, make this land desolate? What do we deserve but the judgment of God upon us? Underlying this thinking is a rejection of God. Society has rejected God's word, rejected God's ways. They will not obey verse 23 and walk in the ways that he has commanded, that it may be well with you. But they live, according to verse 24, walking in the counsels and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. He would be perfectly just and holy and righteous to bring this land to desolation. What is needed is the continual proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to work in the hearts and minds of people, to turn them from their evil imaginations of their heart and to turn them unto God. For the Church of Christ, let us continue to proclaim that gospel, proclaim the Word of God, and pray unto the Lord that he will work through that word of God, that they will hearken, that they will listen, and that they will turn unto him. Turn unto the Lord, and he will save them and this land. Amen. We turn again to our Psalters, to Psalm 34. Verses 16 to 22, and the tune is St. David, number 98. Psalm 34, verses 16 to 22.